Putting to all dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So last few weeks we've been studying sixth volume third chapter. We continue till page 147, where we studying the subheading called as Who Healeth All Our Diseases, how there are spiritual diseases among the new creature, how it has to be handled. So last week we studied how a new creature commits a mistake and doesn't rectify it in a proper way and try to, you see, approach the Lord and how this has to be solved. So we'll continue from page number 147. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. There are, of course, difficulties in the way, but the helps and counsels necessary.
I think Gopal brother, that's over. I think we continue from next paragraph.
Okay, brother.
The
We'll continue.
difficulty with some experience.
Okay, brother. The difficulty with some experience is that after they do come to the throne of grace, they do not realize the blessing that they seek. The forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with the Father. The difficulty may be one of three. First, they may lack of the faith, and since the Lord's dealing in the present time is according to faith, nothing can be obtained without the faith. According to thy faith, be it unto thee. The difficulty may be that they have not undone the wrong which they did and are confessing that they have not made amends for injury done to another, or that if the transgression has been against the Lord, as they are seeking peace without making confession to him and ask for his forgiveness. Third, in not a few cases of this kind under our observation, the difficulty has been that the suppliants never had made a proper consecration to the Lord. They were seeking divine peace and joy and the sunshine of favor, seeking the blessings represented in the light of the golden candlestick and in the shewbread of the tabernacle, while they were still in reality outside of these things, outside of consecration, outside therefore of the royal priesthood, merely Levites who thus far have received the special grace or privilege of the present time in vain.
Thank you. So here, Brother Russell says about 3 points. You see, even after approaching the throne of grace, they don't realize that their sins are forgiven. What is the reason? The first reason is that you see they lack faith that God has forgiven their sins. You see, hence that guilty conscience will always be pricking them, telling that they have sinned against the Lord. But we see the condition of the gospel age, the terms and conditions of the gospel age is that everything is done by faith, so not by works. So if you need to approach the throne of grace, so we should be having faith on the Lord that our sins will be forgiven once if we confess our sins and if we are sincere in it. So that faith, if it is lacking, then definitely this won't work out, the first thing. And the second thing is that they don't repent of the mistakes they have done. They continue doing the same mistakes, you see. And the second thing is that they would have hurt somebody, they would have injured somebody, and they don't want to mend it also, and they want to try to correct it also, and don't want to make peace, you see, with the brethren. So in this way, if they continue into the same way of being hard in their own way, that, you see, doesn't make them to walk ahead in the narrow way walk of life, you see, and that doesn't make them to realize or obtain God's forgiveness of sins because they're not trying to change their ways, you see, in the Lord. And the third point is that they have not made a complete consecration to the Lord. That means a sincere consecration to the Lord is not made. So what happens here is well, that the partial consecration, that means 50%, 50%, you see, They are not completely dedicated to the Lord. As they are not dedicated to the Lord, what happens was that, you see, they won't be able to understand or grasp the complete the divine plan and God's, you see, purposes in the gospel age. So it is like, here, brother gives example. You are in the tabernacle, but you are in the outside the court condition, but you feel that as if you are in the holy condition. You want to see the glimpse of the gold candlestick, the incense altar, and the showbread, and you want to see all these things. You want to taste all these things, but actually, in reality, you would be completely outside the court. So, none of these things, if these three conditions are there, none of these things will obtain, will get us forgiveness of the Lord, will never heal our diseases and help us to walk ahead in the narrow walk of life. So, what are these three? First is lack of faith. The second one is lack of correction of their mistakes. And the third is that, you see, improper consecration. Okay, now what is the solution for it? There must be some solution, no? Yes, the solution is given in next paragraph. So next paragraph, Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. The proper remedy for the lack of faith would be its cultivations through study of God's word, thinking upon his goodness, past and present, and striving to realize that he is gracious, exceeding abundantly more than we could have asked for thought. The remedy for the second difficulty would be a prompt, full, true apology, and so far as possible, undoing of the wrong or compensations for the damages, and then a return to the throne of grace in full assurance of faith. Assurance of faith, the remedy for the third difficulty would be to make the full consecration which the Lord demand of the part of all who will enjoy the special privilege and arrangement of this gospel age.
Very good, thank you. So what are the, you see, remedy, a treatment for these diseases? The first thing is that if you lack faith when you approach the throne of grace, you see, that means there's a lack of study of God's words. You see, lack of faith. Now, how do you increase faith? By studying more of the word of God. You see, reading so many things which are mentioned in the Bible, so many precious promises are there, so many incidents are there, how God kept his promises and how God fulfilled it. So by studying the word of God, it increases our faith. How God has dealt with so many people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And how similarly, if we are of such character, how God will deal with us, that will be encouraging for us, and it will increase our faith. And in that way, we might realize, you see, that our mistakes are not completely, you see, always in God's side, but he always seeks, you see, to be cleansed of it. And how? By completely coming in faith to his throne of grace. First point. The second, what is the second, you see, the problem? You see, improper confession and not repenting of their sin. So what is the treatment for the second one is that, the first is that there should be a sincere apology. If you have hurt any brother or any sister by doing something wrong, it is a good thing that you go sincerely to them and, you see, seek apology. So that has to be done. So Bible says, Jesus also said, if you have anything against your brother, You say, leave your gift there, go and reconcile with your brother, and then offer your sacrifices to the Lord. So, and it also says, lest your prayer be hindered. So, if God wants our prayer to be heard, to continue to be heard, so this thing has to be done. See, Jesus would have clearly told, or he could have told, that God knows your heart condition, so no need to go and you say get reconciled to a brother, so just leave it like that only. Anyway, what will happen, we'll see. He could have said to be silent and time will only speak, but never, you see, Jesus said that only. Jesus said to go and get reconciled. So, in this context, in this case, first thing is that a thorough apology has to be sought, and the second thing is that a proper repentance. You see, not committing and not repeating the same thing, you see, that has to be rectified. And the third thing, that means what? The consecration is not thoroughly made. You see, that means you're not completely dedicated. You're done, you see, with a half-heartedness. You have to do a complete consecration to the Lord. You see, that means you reserve yourself completely to the Lord. That is the terms and conditions of the gospel age. Not only in believing in Jesus, but also suffering in, you see, the sufferings of Christ. This is the thing that is a privilege to the brethren in the gospel age. So, these three remedies has to be done where we can approach the throne of grace boldly, you see, and walk ahead in the narrow walk of life. So, in this way, what will happen, you see, our diseases, you see, our spiritual diseases, you see, will get healed. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. Another class of the consecrated but spiritually diseased needs consideration. This apparently justified by faith and sincere in their consecration seem to make little or no progress in controlling their flesh. Indeed, in some instance, it would appear that their faith in God's goodness and mercy, removing the breaks of fear, have left them rather more exposed to temptation through weakness of the flesh than they were at first when they had less knowledge of the Lord. These have experiences which are very trying, not to themselves only, but to entire household of faith with whom they come in contact. In their lives, some seem to be a succession of failures and repentances, some along the lines of financial inconsistencies, other along the lines of moral and social delinquencies.
Thank you, sister. So, there is one more category of consecrated. Now, what is that category? He's got a different type of spiritual disease, you see. And that has to be considered, especially in this part. Now, what is that one? You see, just because we read in the previous paragraph that as we go to the throne of grace and seek God mercy and forgiveness, you see, we are told to come boldly and courageously, and God is never seeking opportunities to find fault in us. This, you see, as a tendency to commit whatever sin we want, whatever mistake we want, and keep on going and asking, you see, forgiveness of sins from the throne of grace. You see, they have taken into granted the forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Just because, you see, we are sinners, you see, doesn't mean that we keep on committing the same mistake again and again, again and again. You see, so here in this case, that is the problem. They commit the same mistakes again and again, again and again. And after doing that one also, they don't even realize they commit the mistake. Hence, they don't even want to approach the throne of grace. And still some people, even after approaching, they take it for granted. Okay, today my sin is forgiven. Tomorrow also it will be forgiven. Day after tomorrow also it will be forgiven. So let me continue the same thing. I did the same thing yesterday. So I have been forgiven. So let me continue the same thing again and again. So these, you see, have less knowledge of the Lord. This is a sign that they don't have a proper understanding of the Lord. It is like Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh, he committed that he will leave the people of Israel. You see, but once he went back to his promise, God permitted plague. Now, what happened in the plague? You see, initially he kept quiet, but as the plague increased, you see, that was put a lot of pressure on him. And what happened? That he called Moses and said, okay, pray to the Lord, let him take away this plague. Immediately I release the, you see, people of Israel. But once God took that away, he never let the people of Israel go. But he changed his mind and he was stubborn in the same way. Why? Because, you see, that is also mentioned in 6th volume. Because, you see, he thought God has so soon, you see, just because if requesting him to take away this plague, immediately he has done that one. So, what will happen now? Even if I commit any mistake, God will again forgive me. God will again take away. So, first thing happened, second plague, third plague, fourth plague, fifth plague. It kept on going. So ultimately, what happened? You see, ultimately, forgiveness of forgiveness, forgiveness upon forgiveness, that hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was like, you see, it's like something, it is like a stealing something. See, if you steal one fruit from a neighbor's plant, first day what will happen? If nobody sees, you see, it will be very easy. You see, you will be very fearful. You see, very frightened to steal. But once if you pluck and if our theft is successful, you see, we'll be in a relaxed mode. So second day will come. Again, we'll thought of stealing. But this time it will be more easy. Because first time, our heart would have pricked, our conscience would have pricked. There would have been a lot of fear. But as the first day was successful, the second day, if you commit the same mistake, you see, you will have less fear. That afraid will become less. You don't have so much of fear. So you'll have the boldness to commit that mistake. So again, the third day, fourth day, until you're caught, you see, that boldness and courage will always be there. You see, so similarly, it is with the consecrated who commit, keep on committing the same mistake. They think that they can do whatever they want and come and approach the throne of grace and they can obtain mercy and forgiveness from the Lord. No, you see, these have lack of knowledge of the word of God. And they think that whatever they do, it will be accepted of the Lord. These are lacking control in their flesh. They don't have brakes to their flesh. You see, read 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27.
First Corinthians
9, chapter 27th verse, sister.
But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
What does Apostle Paul say? I keep my body into subjection. Why? Lest I fall away. You see, so this has to be in our mind. What is the meaning of consecration? Not doing whatever we want, not thinking whatever we want, and whatever we do is correct in the sight of the Lord. You see, keep our body into control, subjection. You see, that is overcoming. So this type of people, you see, they have failures and repentance. You see, they keep on committing mistakes. They keep on repeating. They keep on committing mistakes. Keep on repenting. You see, they are like unstable waters. Okay. Now, let us read the next paragraph. Munaster. Okay, Gopal brother. Can you read the next paragraph?
Okay, brother. What is the remedy for this condition of things? We answer that They should be distinctly informed that the new creation will not be composed of those who merely covenant self-denials and self-sacrifices in earthly things, and to walk not after the flesh but after the spirit, but of those who, because of faithfulness in the willing endeavor to keep this covenant, will be continued overcomers by him who readeth the heart. They should be instructed that the proper method of procedures for all the consecrated is that, being made free by the Son, they should be so anxious to attain all blessings incident to divine favor that they would voluntarily become bond servants, putting themselves under certain restrictions, limitations, bondage, as respect that, as respect their words, their conduct, their thoughts, earnestly desiring of the Lord in prayer the aid he has promised them, expressed in his words to the apostle, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness." Each time they find that they have transgressed, they should not only make amends to those injured, but also make confession to the Lord, and by the faith obtain his forgiveness. They should promise greater diligence for the future, and should increase the limitations of their own liberties along the lines of weakness ascertained by their latest failure.
Very good. So, what is the remedy? What is the treatment for this type of disease? You see, the treatment for this type of disease is that, you see, who can win the crown? Just by making a covenant, just by getting immersion among the Bible students, you won't get a crown. Only is that waiting list is there. The seat might be in a waiting list. Not that we are confirmed that we are receiving the crown, but we should be running crown, running for the crown. So what is required to win the crown? You see, to win the crown, you see, overcoming is required. Read Revelation 3:21.
Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
You see, he that overcometh, even as I overcame, only to those, you see, what will be given? The opportunity will be given to sit next with Christ on the throne. Not for everybody, not for every consecrated. So this overcoming has to be there. Overcoming in what? You see, overcoming in a proper method. Not thinking that whatever, you see, we overcome is overcome in the sight of the Lord. You see, so overcoming should be there. How do we overcoming? You see, by putting some things into subjection. What did Apostle Paul read? What did Apostle Paul tell? 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. That means this new creature should bring the old creature into subjugation. Yeah? How a servant is there now? How a servant is to be treated? You see, we can't allow the servants to come and sit in our house in whichever place they want and use whatever materials they want. You see, they will be under subjugation. So similarly, a new creature should control this old creature. How? By putting some restrictions. You see, putting some limitations, putting some bondages. You see, just because we know to speak doesn't mean that we speak whatever comes to our mouth. You see, a bridle has to be put to our mouth. What did Jesus say? You see, every vain word you speak, you need to give account to the Lord. You see, so we should be very cautious in our speaking also. You see, think 1,000 times before you speak. Doesn't do whatever comes to our mouth is a right thing. Bridle your tongue. bringing into subjugation. The second thing is that bringing control of our conduct. Conduct means what? Our behavior, our character, how we move, how we behave among the brethren. You see, not doing whatever we want. You see, bringing into subjection, bringing into control. See, read one verse in Acts of the Apostles. I think 4th chapter. Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32.
And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common.
You see, they had all things in common. That is the oneness. You see, they were all of one heart and one soul. This is oneness. You see, one condition, one heart condition, one attitude. You see, one behavior, one goal, one aim. Oneness should be there in understanding, you see, in words, in everything. So this, how do we, you see, bring this one into our practice in our life? It is our, you see, bringing the old creature into subjugation of the new creation. You see, this is in our behavior. And next, in our thoughts. You see, our mind is so weird that it will think whatever it wants. You see, the Bible says, Matthew, 4th chapter, verse 8. Read Matthew 4:8. Matthew 4:8 and then.
Matthew 4:8 and 9. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
You see, here Jesus, you see, was tempted of the devil, and devil took him to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it. So devil showed all the kingdoms and the glory of it. So what did he see? You see, all the world, all the powerful nations, you see, and all the, you see, powerful things of this powerful nation, wonderful things. How did Satan show this one to Jesus? There is no mountain in this world where you can go and stand on the peak and see the entire world. You see, is there any such mountain? No. Even if you go to the Himalaya, the topmost of the world, you see, the Mount Everest, you won't be able to see America, you won't be able to see India. You won't be able to see even in Kathmandu also. But how do you take it? It is in imagination. Jesus was in the wilderness, but his mind went around all over the world. You see, so Satan has got so much of power that he will influence our thought in all sorts of negative way and disturb our mind. You see, now what should be done? You should bring that thought into subjugation. Bring it into control. Just because our thoughts tell whatever comes in our mind doesn't mean that you put it into thinking. Thoughts are different, thinking is different. See, thoughts come, but you should not think on these things. They are two different things, sir. You see? You see something going before your eyes. You see, imagine if a snake comes before you. Thought generates. Thought comes before your mind. Immediately, thoughts will come. But you should not think on, continue thinking on those things. Thought nobody can control. But thinking, continue thinking on those thoughts, you see, that can be curtailed. Here, thoughts came to our master. Thoughts about what? Rebelling against God. But he brought the thoughts into control, into subjugation. You see, he subdued it. You see, so this is overcoming. So this thought should always be there in the consecrated mind. Doesn't mean that you do whatever you want, you behave how much ever you want, and go and approach the throne of grace. Oh, God will forgive everything. So let me be calm. No, that is not being a part of 1,44,000. We should remember, being humble gets us the crown. What does the Bible say? What did the Apostle Paul say? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made, you see, when you are weak. So, when each and every time we fall, you see, we should remember that our Lord is always there to uplift us. How? Based on a condition that we make a proper confession, you see, repent of the things, you see, and get rectified from the injury what we have done in a proper way. This increases caution in our life. This increases more alertness in our life. You see, this increases, you see, more, you see, more responsibility before doing some things. So this also leads to less failure and less mistakes in the consecrated life. Okay, so this is the remedy for this mistake. Okay, next. Una sister, you'll read.
Okay, brother. Thus washing and praying and setting guards upon the actions and the words of life, and bringing every thought into captivity to the will of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, it will surely not be long until they can assert themselves and the brethren also, respecting the sincerity of their hearts, and walk in life so circumspectly that all may be able to discern not only that they have been with Jesus, but also that they have learned of him and have sought and used his assistance in gaining victories over their weaknesses. The cases of such brethren or sisters would come under the head of what the apostle terms walking disorderly, not after the example of the Lord and the apostles. In another chapter, you will see the Lord's directions respecting the manner in which those weak in the flesh and who bring dishonor and discredit upon the Lord's cause should be treated by the brethren.
Thank you, sir. So, what is the benefit of this one? You see, if you are watching and praying and rectifying all your mistakes, observing each and every behavior, each and every thing you do before that one, it is showing to the Lord that our sincerity, that we want to mend ourselves and we want to mold ourselves into Christ-likeness. Let us read 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Second Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to be to the obedience of Christ.
See, casting down every imagination, you see, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, thoughts will come. Thoughts will come of what? Always trying to go against the Lord. You see, Angayishta is knowledge. That means whatever the Bible says, we try to walk opposite in a different way. Though we are in the truth, though we may be consecrated, we may be, you see, in the Lord, but our words, our actions, our speech, our thoughts will not be in harmony with this one at all. You see, we will be doing such things, such things, such temptations will come. You see, now what does he say? To bring into captivity every thought, you see, into the obedience of Christ. We should control all those things and completely bring our each and every thoughts, words into Christ. What does the Bible say? Bring everything into such control. So, if you are continuing to do that one, what will happen? The brethren will see the changes in you. You see, when we are consecrated, we are in the inception stage, incipient stage, very small embryo stage. But as we keep on growing, what are the symptoms of our growth? You see, they should be changes. Changes of what? Changes of Christ likeness. If there is no changes of Christ likeness, that is a clear sign that that is, you see, not the part of the Lord's work. You see, how do we see the changes? In the mother's womb, when the child gets conceived, 3 to 4 months, it will be very difficult for the child to get adjusted. Vomiting will happen. So that's what will happen. Once we consecrate, the truth will keep on going inside us. The truth says that you should do like this, you should behave like this one, you should speak like this one. But our old man will tell the other way around. There'll be conflict. So it will be very difficult for us to amend ourselves to Christ likeness. It is a very difficult process. But as the days goes on, this process will stop. A child will start getting a movement in the child mother's womb. Vomiting will start. Vomiting will stop. And child will start moving in the womb. You see? And it will shake the hands, legs, kick. You see? So these are the signs for the mother. A child is in a good condition. It is growing as it's supposed to grow. Same way, what are the signs that we are growing in the Lord? We are maturing. You see, this will be seen by the brethren. You see, our behavior, our reaction, the way all we do, these are all symptoms whether we are of the Lord or not. Read Acts 4:3. Acts 4:3.
And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide.
Okay, 1 minute. Acts 4:3, 1 minute. Okay, 1 minute. Acts 3. Acts 4:13.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
They had been with Jesus. How did the people recognize that they had been with Jesus? The way they behaved, the way they spoke. You see, they were not like this one when they were with Jesus. You see, they were very timid, very fearful. But now, they were different persons. So these symptoms will come out where the brethren will recognize the Christ likeness. But there are also other type of brethren. Here, Brother Russell says, you see, He says, you see, the cases of such brothers and sisters would come under the head of what the apostle terms walking disorderly, not after the example of the Lord and the apostles. There'll be other brethren also, they'll be in the truth only, but they won't walk, you see, orderly, disciplinedly. You see, they walk disorderly. You see, and how they have to be dealt, how they have to be corrected, how they are to be instructed, you see, how they are to be tuned. This is all said in the sixth volume. Future, in the coming chapters, Brother Russell says how these persons has to be corrected, or else this will be trouble creators in the ecclesia. So this has to be rectified. We can't leave all those things to do whatever the, you see, they do, because they think disorderly is order, you see, but while that is completely against the conditions of the new creation. Okay, next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. Okay. Here we remarks, however, that so long as they give evidence of repentance for their wrong course and a desire of heart to go in the right way and of continued faith and trust in the Lord, they must be estimate as a brethren, however necessary it may be to restrict fellowship with them until they have give some outward tangible demonstrations of the power of grace in their heart, in the restraint of their fleshly weaknesses. Nevertheless, they are still to be encouraged to believe that the Lord is a very merciful to those who trust him and who at heart desire his ways, although they cannot be encouraged to expect that they could ever be counted worthy of the overcoming class unless they become so honest in their zeal for righteousness that their flesh will show some considerable evidence of its subjections to the new mind.
Thank you, brother. So how to deal with such type of brethren? It says, as and when they give a sign of repentance, they realize that they're done wrong. You see, they want to correct, they want to be in the right path. We should encourage them. We should esteem them as a brethren. But we should be very cautious about such troublemakers. You see, David had a son whose name was Absalom. Absalom, the Bible says, from his head to toe, there was no flaw in him. He was so beautiful. And we read, he was one of the favorite and loving sons of David. David loved him very much. You see, but so Absalom also knew that he was never going to be a king. You see, and because David loved Bathsheba very much, and David's beloved son through Bathsheba was Solomon. He was a very small child. But even then, David never wanted to give the throne to Absalom, wanted to give the throne to Solomon. Though he be a small lad, he will grow. And what did Absalom do? Absalom usurped against David. You see, he killed his own brother and he was completely, You see, staying away from David. But David never hated him. You see, but David wanted to correct him and begin to write this one. And he was always willing to see Absalom. Now see the trick of Absalom here. Absalom wanted again to come back to Jerusalem. But his father never allowed him. He told, I've forgiven you, but you're not supposed to come to Jerusalem at any cost. You see, but in his heart, David was always willing that Absalom come and dwell with me and eat with me. It will be so happy. But because of the condition of as a king, as a matter of the, you see, the entire people, he never wanted to encourage Absalom, because if he encourages Absalom, this would be a bad example to the people of Israel. So they also will commit the same mistake. So then what happened was that ultimately through Joab, you see, Absalom came to his palace. Within few years of coming inside the palace, Absalom completely, you see, destroyed David's name. He sat at the gate. Read, all these things are given in 2 Samuel. You see, he sat at the gate. Whoever came for justice to David, he spoke evil about David and spoiled the name of David and gathered the entire team. You see, then what happened was that, you see, he made a coup that is going to come and kill David. But God, through some person, had informed David, and David immediately left Jerusalem for the sake of peace. See the behavior of Absalom. He was ready to kill his own father for what sake? For the sake of authority, for the sake of power, for the sake of being a king, though he was incapable. He was beautiful, but he was never incapable for that position at all. So, what did David do? David, you see, was very cautious about him. Though he ran away, he never welcomed him. You see, he never had that desire upon him as he had before. So similarly, here it says, such type of brethren had to be welcomed, but we need to be very cautious and restrain our fellowship as much as possible with them. Why? Because so that they may realize their mistakes, what they have done. You see, and what mistakes they have done and how it is disturbing, you see, so they may repent when they are, you see, not brought so much into fellowship as was before. They will try to realize their mistakes, you see, and they may correct themselves and come back. If they correct themselves and if they come back, the duty of the brethren is that they need to welcome them in a proper spirit. See, example of Peter. Peter was the chiefest of the all the brethren. He was the eldest of all the brethren, because he was married. He had a home, he had wife and children. You see, and Peter committed lot of mistakes. You see, and at last he even rejected our master 3 times, not once or twice, 3 times he rejected our master. You see, but after realizing his mistake, after realizing his weakness, because of his weakness, that how he rejected our Lord, he began to weep and repent and turn to the Lord. His tears in his eyes, his way of life, his changes in his life, it proved to the master that he had really repented, even to the brethren. You see the difference between Judas and Peter. Judas never returned back to the brethren. He repented. Both repented. But Judas never faced the brethren. Here, Peter repented. He changed, brought the changes. He faced the brethren. But see the grace of God. God gave Peter the complete authority. You see, indirectly rebukes him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Master, you only know. No. So, if that proper 100% repentance is shown by the brethren, these brethren has to be welcomed. If no, then We need to clearly tell them that they need to keep their flesh under subjugation, lest they lose their crown and fall into the great multitude. If further things happen, they might even go to the second death also. Okay, next paragraph. Gopal brother, will you read?
Okay, brother. We have seen some of the Lord's consecrated people in lean and stark condition, earnestly desiring a fullness of fellowship with Him, yet lacking the necessary instruction as to how it should be attained and maintained. True, they had the Bible, but their attention was called away from that, and they learned to look more to teachers and catechism, etc., running after the tradition of men and not after the mind or spirit of God, and have therefore lacked the proper spiritual nourishment. The result has been that they have felt dissatisfied with formalism, and yet knew not how to draw near unto the Lord with their whole heart, because they knew not of His goodness and the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus, and of the grand plan of salvation for the world by and by, nor of the call of the church to the new nature. This stark condition needs first of all the pure, sincere milk of the word, and afterward the strong meat of the divine revelation. Such dear ones are not to be despised nor neglected, even though, after realizing the emptiness of church unity in general, they have been inclined to seek for something else to satisfy their heart hunger, something of worldly entertainments, etc. We have known some of this class who had settled down to seeming indifference to spiritual things after having vainly tried in various directions to find some soul satisfaction, but receiving present truth, they blossom forth in the spiritual graces and knowledge in a most remarkable manner. We believe there are many more of such in the various denominations, and that it is the privilege of those who have received the light of present truth to lead them a helping hand out of darkness into the marvelous light, out of spiritual starvation into a superabundance of grace and truth. But to be used of the Lord in blessing such, it is necessary that both wisdom and grace from on high be soft in the word, and that these should be exercised kindly, faithfully, and persistently.
Good Buddha. See, there is one more condition of the, you see, Lord's consecrated people are shown. What is that one? The lean and starved. How? You see, these are from Babylon. You see, they come from Babylon. You see, they are lean and starved condition. Okay. Why is that? They don't know the divine plan of the ages completely. They don't know what is the plan of God for the entire mankind. You see, they think more than the word of God, their preachers, their leaders, their pastors, they are very important. So they give a lot of importance to them and seek many other ways to feel them satisfied spiritually. You see, but you see, this is a starved condition. You see, seeking out of the scriptures in various ways, trying to satisfy themselves, you see, and thinking that they are spiritually good. That is a lean condition, starved condition. They are living, but in a lean and a starved condition. So what is the treatment? What is the remedy for this one? Is that they need to be told that they need to grow by taking sincere milk of the word. That means what? Sincerely, what is there in the Bible? That simple truth, whatever is there, however is there in the Bible, that has to be, you see, drunk sincerely, without manipulating, without adding anything to it. Taking as it is, you see, the truth. You see, the first thing. And as you grow after drinking the milk, you desire a strong meat. You see, and a lot of examples are there. Here, brother tells, Many people have come to the present truth based on that condition, it seems, based on these conditions. And they have shown rapid development, you see, marvelous development in this truth. So, these, you see, spiritual starved, many Christians are there in this world. Brother Russell says, go and teach to them. Go and, you see, tell the truth, witness to these people. Hence, the harvest is to be done where? Not among other religion, but among Christianity. Because there, so many people are dedicated out of their heart to the Lord. But they don't have the sincere, you see, truth where they can be properly guided. So these people are to be witnessed and brought to the truth and, you see, properly guided. But to be used of the Lord in such, in blessing such, it is necessary that you should use your wisdom and grace. That means what? To do this witnessing activity, to bring these people to the truth, use your wisdom, use your grace. Doesn't mean that, you see, they are listening you to keep on telling whatever you see you want and you keep on telling the entire truth to them. No. If they are sincere, if they are interested, you see, then only teach the truth. You know, Brother Russell gives an example in, he says, you just show a small piece of sugar to the ant. Don't completely heap entire sugar to the ant. It should be in such a way that ant should draw to the sugar. You see, and that attraction itself is sufficient. So similarly, when we are teaching the classes, you should attract them. Attract them means what? Bring them to the truth. You see, and the truth should attract them. They should come seeking the truth day and day, desire and interest should be there to get more and more understanding of the truth. And such people, you see, they have to be encouraged to grow persistently in the Lord. Okay? So, this subheading, we have covered various types of Christians, various types of consecrated people, and various types of diseases that come, and various types of treatment for healing the diseases. Okay? So, we'll stop here. Next week, we'll continue with the next subheading, God willing. Okay? So, in the end, Munaster, can you pray?
Okay, brother. Let's pray. जीवित अनि प्रशंसित परमेश्वर पिता तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद यो असल समयको निम्ति जुन समयमा तपाईँको वचनका कुराहरू सिक्नका निम्ति हामी सबैजना भेला भएका छौँ र तपाईँले हामीलाई तपाईँको वचनलाई गहिरो बुझ्न सिक्नको निम्ति सहायता गर्नुभएकोमा उसको लागि धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद परमेश्वर पिता अझ यो सिकेका कुराहरूमा सो अध्ययन गरेर गहिरेर पढ्न बुझ्नको निम्ति हामी प्रत्येकलाई सहायता गर्नुभएको होस् प्रभु धन्यवाद यो समयलाई तपाईँको हातमा राख्दै बिन्ती माग्दछु प्रभु यीशु ख्रीष्टको नाउँमा आमेन
आमेन आमेन थ्याङ्क यू एभ्रीबडी लर्ड ब्लेस गुड नाइट
थ्याङ्क यू
बाई गोपाल बुधर मुन्ना गुड नाइट रोमिस्ट बाबाई अमर बुधर गुड नाइट
ब्रदर